Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Steve Mays. We're glad you're taking this opportunity to deepen your study of the Scriptures. Now we invite you to follow along in your Bible as we dive into the light of the Word.
Well, shall we turn to John chapter 8? This morning, if you are taking notes, we're going to look at the second great I Am of the Gospel of John. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw the faint lights in the distance. Immediately, he told the signalman to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return came from the message, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored. So he sent a second message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman, third class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would invoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. I think that's a great story when you think of the stupidity sometimes of our lives. How that we try to alter God. How that we oftentimes come into a difficult point in our life, and we begin to say to God, alter your course 10 degrees south, and He replies, no, you alter your course 10 degrees north. And what happens oftentimes is we forget who is really in charge. But we are living in times that are extremely dark, and they are becoming more difficult to navigate our life through the fog. We really don't know who to believe and what to listen to any longer on the news. And with all the voices and all the things that we hear, I think it is absolutely imperative more than ever before in our lives as citizens that we would come to hear the voice of God. Now, I don't say that just flippantly, but I mean it with all my heart. That if there's ever a time for you to be able to say, this is God's will in my life, and these are the things that God has spoken to me to do, and this is what He is telling me to do because He has verified it with the Word of God, that is the voice and that is the commitment that will keep me from going shipwrecked within my life. Because the tendency is to listen to every voice other than the one that I need to listen to in my life and in my heart. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we find, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now underline the word followeth me. In other words, that is the definite definition of really walking in the light, is to follow Him, and not you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Then if you will jump down to chapter 9, verse 5 of the Gospel of John, he mentions, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And one last one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and that is to your left, three books to the book of Matthew. Matthew says in chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world, speaking of us. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus now is declaring that He is the light of the world. He's not saying that He is a reflection. He's not saying that he is a reflection of God's love or God's light. No, he is declaring he is the light. He was the one who made it. He was the one who created it. In Genesis chapter 1, he spoke light into existence. So before light was, he is. We also find very simply that he did not come to bear the light. We know that John bore the light, but he was not the light. He was also a reflection of the light, John the Baptist, but he was not the light. Nor was he to illuminate the light. He was the very essence of light, and in that light was the life of men. Now, in the Gospel of John, there are seven times this word I am is used. We saw last week in John 6:51, I am the bread of life. Today, in John chapter 8, verse 12, he declares, I am the light of the world. Then in John chapter 10, there are two, in verse 9, I am the door. And then in chapter 10, verse 11, I am the shepherd. There's one in chapter 11, verse 25, where Martha begins to question Jesus, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life in chapter 11, verse 25. There is one in chapter 14, verse 6, the one we know probably the very best. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And lastly, we find the seventh is found in John in chapter 15, verse 5. I am the true vine. Now, the background of the study today is probably extremely important, probably more important than most backgrounds. I find it interesting that it was in the background of a woman caught in adultery. There in chapter 1, or chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, he speaks concerning of a woman who was brought to Jesus and thrown down at his feet. And the scribes and the Pharisees said this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. So in other words, the scribes and Pharisees broke into a house, took a woman that was naked, put a blanket over her, drug her, and threw her in shame in front of our Lord. Now it irritates me because they did not bring the man with them, which tells me a little bit about the scribes and Pharisees. Many believe that it was one of the rulers or leaders of the scribe and Pharisees. We also know that Jesus was now put on the spot. Because if he would not stone her, then he would be disagreeing with the law of Moses. For according to the law of Moses, if you are caught in the act of adultery, both of you were to be stoned. But the problem is that if he would say that, then he would be dealt with by Rome because it was no longer acceptable for the Jews to do capital punishment. When he was born, they vanished that, took it away. So they thought that they had Jesus trapped. If he was going to violate the law of Moses, then he would disagree with the Word of God. If he was not going to live by the Word of God, then And if he was, then he was going to violate the rulership of Rome. Either way, they had him. So he bent down at this woman, looked at her in the eyes, and he began to write in the dirt. And he said, you without sin cast the very first stone. And it said that from the elder all the way down to the younger, each left as he wrote in the dirt. I'm of a personal conviction that he was writing their sin out loud. He was telling them what their names were and what sin they were committing. Well, Pharisee John, you've been with Alice and James and, you know, you're in serious trouble here. And Jesus just continued to write until everyone left. He looked up at the woman. He says, woman, where is your accusers? And she said, they are gone. And he said, you are forgiven. And all she could do was stare. But it was against the hypocrisy and the sinfulness and the filth of that moment that Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. Now, we don't know if it was because it was now becoming night or it was becoming day. If it was during the day and he was in the temple, and night was beginning to take over the day, then they would light those golden bowls and they would illuminate the temple mount. And as they would illuminate the temple mount, Jesus could have said, "I am the light of the world," drawing all attention on him instead of on those candelabras. Or, if it was at night, and the candles were now being extinguished, and the sun was beginning to rise, he could have pointed to the sun saying, "I am the light of the world." Either way it works for me, because in the New Jerusalem there will be no sun, for he will be the sun seven times brighter. So Jesus is drawing a very strong picture that he is the light of the world, because he is life and he is God. And we come now to a place where it says in Isaiah 42, "And I bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in a path that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." He also said in the book of Hebrews that he sees all things, that everything is naked and open before him, that my sins are absolutely before the Lord. And I'd rather have them before God than before anyone in my life. Peter, I think, said it the very best, 2 verse 9 of 1 Peter, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." And that was the scripture that God gave to me 30 years ago in my life. It was the day that I came to know Jesus Christ. This was the first scripture that I ever read in my life. And it was one that has impacted me all the way through. "Stephen, I have called you out of the darkness, and I brought you into the marvelous light." And I remember vividly what happened. I was having a horrible withdrawal from drugs, LSD, went to bed that night saved in a Christian home, and I was dreaming that I was going to be killed by Satan. And I remember so vividly, like it was yesterday, Satan grabbed a .30-06, loaded it, put a bullet in it, had the scope right on my heart, pulled the trigger, and the bullet was coming. And my heart began to race, and at the last moment, I saw this hand come with a little tube, and the bullet went in the tube, back out, and it hit the enemy and killed him. And Jesus, I remember vividly, said, "Greater is he, Stephen, that's in you, than he that's in the world." And I've never forgot that one verse, that he took me out of the darkness and brought me into the marvelous light. Now I want to speak about two things, and I'll let you go. Number one, that God delivered you out of darkness. And number two, God has brought you into the marvelous light. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came into this world to be manifested, that he would show people the light of the glory of God. Now, you need to remember that when God made Adam and Eve, he made them out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into Adam the spirit of life. Therefore, God gave Adam life. So inside of you is the spirit of life. So it would be fair to say that those who have been born even in sin have a sense of life by the spirit of God. Though the spirit is dead, they live, they move, there have they been in God. He holds their breath in their right hand. In other words, God is able to take a breath away, or God is able to extend years to that breath. But one of the things that I find interesting more than ever before is that though there is life inside of me, you look at a baby being born, darkness oftentimes dominates the life. Because I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, because I live in this body of sin, though the Spirit of God is in me and changing me from inside out, my body is govern towards earthly things. My body is going after the temporal things, the things I can see, because I don't see the eternal things. Therefore, my spirit is starving and dying. And there's a tendency for me to go after the darkness. There's a tendency for me to complain constantly about the things of darkness. And very seldom do we really see people magnifying the light of the glory of God within their life, because they're talking about all the things wrong with them. And so they're looking at the darkness rather than looking at what God has done in your life. It says, and I just want to read a couple of scriptures concerning taking us out of darkness. In Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So that tells me there was a time in my life that I was bent towards Satan, that I was serving his kingdom, that I was investing my life in the things of Satan's kingdom, that I was an evangelist pushing drugs, and I was someone who was making disciples because I was bringing people under the power that Satan had because of drugs. And I became part of that kingdom. And it was a brutal kingdom, a kingdom that was fierce, and a kingdom that eventually I was shot. And that really opened my eyes to something greater that was going on, because a smoke screen came down when the bullet went through my leg, and I realized ultimately this kingdom desires to destroy my life. But I was caught. I couldn't get out. I wanted to get off the drugs. I wanted to get out of all the things, but I couldn't. I was going down this road, and no matter what I did, I was driven towards this darkness. And yet I knew that I shouldn't be going, but I was driven. One day, Jesus Christ came into my heart, and he asked me a simple thing: would you like me? And the day that I accepted him, I accepted the light, and the light drove out the darkness, and the light pulled me back from the darkness, and the light is seeking to draw me deeper and deeper into a greater commitment, but the darkness is seeking to draw me into. Kind of like going down the mall. When I drive or walk down the mall with my wife, I'm doing fine until I come across Mrs. Fields. And when I'm walking by Mrs. Fields, I hear this voice: Stephen, I want you. I just made chocolate chip cookies and I'm ready to give them to you. My son, come to me, my son. I'll bless you. Look at the hunks of chocolate. They're melting all over. And my flesh goes crazy. And I begin to talk to my wife: honey, can you smell them? No. Honey, do you see them? They're little tiny ones. And she says, honey, those little tiny ones are all over your body. You need to lose weight. Remember what the doctor said. And I said, but honey, they're so small and they smell so good. And maybe we'll stop on the way home from church after third service and get some. No, you don't need them. But honey, they're drawing me, and I feel this burden that we walk by, and I'm looking over at all the great people that get to eat them. But my wife, I'm not going again with her. I can't believe how negative she is. And so I turn to her and I say, honey, don't I get rewards? I mean, don't you give little presents for people that go to the mall with you? You know, like I'm a kid or something. I'm begging her, pleading with her. And no, you can have some watermelon or some cantaloupe when we get home. I go, man, I want a divorce. This is the pits. But I'm just sucked into this thing. And that's what darkness does. It pulls you in. Now, I don't hear it saying to me, peanut butter cookies. I just walk by. I hate those. I mean, there's no temptation. I mean, lay them out before me. I'll shoot them with a gun. No big thing. None whatsoever. I can walk towards the light because I don't like it. But you put cookies there, and you give me an option between walking in the light and having those cookies. Those cookies look really good. And so I'm drawn, and I think about it. I can dream about it, and I can taste it, and my mind doesn't stop. And so we're walking a half a dozen shops down, and I still see the people there just with the chips hanging down their mouth and the milk, and just I can smell the oil from blocks away, and my mind is possessed with these cookies. Now, who's doing that? My flesh. Now, I know I shouldn't have them, but that which I don't want to do,
I do. I got to have him. I need a fix, you know, right now. Quick. Cookie. It's like I'm crazy. And then I take them and eat them, and in 5 minutes, I got to take aspirin because I have a migraine headache. But I know the consequences, but I'm willing to pay the price because the cookies are so good. Now, that is like, oh, Pastor Steve, we really got to pray for you. Oh, give me a break. I mean, it can be a car. I got to have the car. I need the car. I got to have the TV. If I could just have the TV, I could watch Billy Graham on television so much bigger. Don't lie. You want the TV so you can watch football. And you're telling everybody it's for Billy. Or give me the stereo system so I can listen to Terry Clark. No, you want the stereo system so you can blow both cars off the side next to you. You know, it's like, I gotta have. Well, that's a darkness. And it's pulling you away from everything you know that is good. It says in Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so he desires Satan to blind you. He desires to make you ignorant. He desires to make you with no understanding. And then it says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And then in verse 11, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So believe it or not, there was a time in your life that you were the children of darkness. Even though you were an apple pie Christian, but apart from Jesus Christ, you were in darkness. Jesus came, died, manifested the light, and as many as came to him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now Judas saw the light. Judas hung out with the light. Judas walked with the light. Judas ate with the light. But the Bible declares at the very end, he went out at night and destroyed his life because he was a child of darkness. He was not a child of the light. So God took you out of that darkness, took your mind away from the things of the flesh, took you out of the kingdom of bondage, and he translated your metaphor, just changed your life into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so it declares very simply in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. And I just want to make this point, and we'll finish up. Very simply, there's something about evil that we are gravitating towards. There's something about the power of darkness that is absolutely exciting. There's a mystery, there's a hiddenness, there's something I need to find out. And so I begin to flirt, and all of a sudden I'm blinded. And when I sin, what happens is that I go to my friends or I go to other people and I'm becoming darker every day of my life. When I fall in sin, immediately I am to go to Jesus Christ. And the moment I come to the light, he begins to reveal my heart. He begins to expose my ways. He begins to show me the problem of my life. And that's a wonderful thing because the blinders are taken off and the excuses are gone. And I stand before God and him alone have I sinned. And God, forgive me. And he does. And he restores my life and he illuminates my life and he gives me joy to continue towards the light. But the problem is that it's easier to keep heading towards darkness. Because the light is so difficult. Because the light reveals the sin. And the light reveals the guilt. And I don't know how to deal with that in my life. So instead of going to God, I go to Satan. And that is exactly what Satan's done. First of all, he got you to take your eyes off of the Lord. Then he has you sinning. Now he doesn't want you to go to God. And so the sin now turns into darkness. And I sin again, darker. And I become so dark, I become deceived in my own life. If I would turn to Jesus Christ the moment I blew it, the moment I would lie, the moment that I would do something that was not pleasing to the Lord, if I would just say, Lord, touch me, forgive me, then he is the light of the world. And light would explode the shackles. And light would just take away the bondage. but I keep flirting with darkness because I am pulling towards the darkness because I have a love towards dark. You see, you were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and when you understand that your flesh desires the darkness, then you need to understand that in you, your real being, the spiritual person, is coveting the light. And the decision comes very simple. Are you going to head towards darkness? Or are you going to head towards the light? It says here in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and the inheritance among them being sanctified by faith. And then one more in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to the giving of the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here it is in a nutshell. Very simple study this morning. I have a decision to make. All the things that are taking place in my life have come into my life for a reason. Even the Georges, the Jims, the Jills, they're all there for a reason. Even the dog. Everything is there for a reason. All things work for the good for those that love the Lord. Amen? God will make everything beautiful in His time. But let's go back to this thing. Well, I can't believe I'm going through this trial. Well, why not? The Bible tells me that you have need of this thing in your life. I don't need it. Well, maybe you don't think you need it. Maybe we don't think you need it. But God definitely knows you need it. And so you ask the question, why would God think that I need it? Because God wants you to know your heart. And because the heart is deceitfully wicked, and we don't want to deal with it, God lets you see the wickedness of your heart in the things and how you deal with situations. So if I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is little. If I become so angry in the freeway and lose my temper, then I realize I'm not governed by self-control. And so I need the work of the Holy Spirit. I need God in my life. If I understand what God is saying, it will really set you free and set me free. In other words, everything that comes into your life is a test, not to tempt you, a test to see if you are going to head towards the light or towards darkness. Your kids begin to act up. Are you going to head towards darkness? Or are you going to head towards the light? If you become bitter with your children, you've headed towards darkness and you've rejected the light. Something happens in your marriage and you become bitter with your husband or your spouse, you've taken the darkness and you've rejected the light to forgive and to go on in Jesus Christ. If all of a sudden you're single and you want to help God out and you're living in fornication and you've accepted the darkness and you've rejected the light. If you want to date a non-believer, then you have accepted the darkness and you've rejected the light. You see, it comes down to a very simple principle. God wants you to understand that there's only one hope that we have in this world, and that is to head towards the light. And the moment you turn towards the light, everything explodes and the glory of God takes over. The moment you surrender your life to the authority of the light, then the power of the Almighty I Am jumps in and He says, this is mine, I claim it. And Satan has no power. But if you walk away from the great I Am, then Satan will say, he's mine, I want him. And so today, in my mind and my mind, my heart, my soul, my being, I am the child of the light. I am to walk in light, and I am to fellowship. And if I walk with Him and fellowship with Him, then my sins are forgiven, and we become the children of the light. Be careful. As you come into these last days, where the darkness begins to arise, remember that God is able to put a division between the world and you. He did it for Egypt. He separated night and day for the children of Israel. He put a fire behind the children of Israel so the Egyptians were blinded, but Israel could see. I think it's a wonderful thing to be on the right side of the great I Am. Father, I pray this morning that God, if we could spend all day and have a wonderful time But Lord, I pray that this morning that you would make it so crystal clear. That God, that we were once in darkness, and that, Lord, that we accepted the call to come to the light. And we come this morning, and maybe there are some of us who have never come to Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, that we know that we are not the children of the light, but the children of darkness. And God, we believe that you have brought us here to make a exchange of kingdoms, to be translated into the kingdom of our dear Son, to have a metamorphosis that, Lord, that we can just be completely brand new. And Father, I pray for those who have walked away from the light, and how their life is so miserable, how they've gone through such difficult anguish of heart, and yet how you love them so much, and how that when you speak to them, God, you're not condemning them, but you simply want them to know that apart from you, they can do nothing. You want to be the great I am. God, with you, we can do all things. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. It has nothing to do with the church, has nothing to do, Lord, with the service, has nothing to do with the type of people we are, has nothing to do with the culture we are. It has to deal between light and darkness, between God and Satan, between heaven and hell. God, if we will head towards the light, then we will follow you. And as we follow you, God, your light will become our life. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you'd like to ask Christ to come into your heart, or if you'd like to rededicate your life, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning? And raise him high that I might see him. Don't be embarrassed. God bless you. God bless you and God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and God bless you. God bless you. What an opportunity. God bless you. Don't God bless you anyone else. God bless you. Think about it. To be delivered in your mind from the darkness. To have peace in your mind and have peace in your heart. What a wonderful thing God is offering to you. Anyone else before we close? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the book that I hold in my hand. That when I read this book, God, I'm so alive. And yet, Lord, when I do not read this book, I find that, Lord, there's a slipping. So make the people here students of your word. Remind them that when they hear from you, it gives them confidence and boldness. And Lord, when they talk to you, Lord, you will do all that they ask according to your will. In Jesus' name.
That's Pastor Steve Mays wrapping up our study time together. If you'd like to know more about the many other Bible study helps we offer here at Calvary Chapel South Bay, visit us online at www.ccsouthbay.org or give us a call at 1-800-339-WISE. Until next time, God bless.